We're doing the laws of Shabbos. Today we'll do a quick overview of the laws of a circumcision on Shabbos. The Torah tells us that when a Jewish boy is born, so then that boy must be circumcised on the eighth day. The eighth day, even if it's on Shabbos. Now the Torah says, Isha ki tazri aviyaleda, when a woman gives birth to the seed that impregnated her, then she will have a child. She will become impure because of the delivery, and the child will be circumcised on the eighth day. Chazal understood from the juxtaposition of the pasuk that the circumcision on the eighth day might be just contingent on the child being born the way she was impregnated. Meaning, if the child came out by C-section, then maybe we don't have a mitzvah to circumcise him on the eighth day. Maybe he should be circumcised on the first day. And maybe it should not push off Shabbos. So this was a discussion in Talmud, and we are stringent in both directions. We wait till the eighth day to circumcise the child, but we do not do it on Shabbat. So if a child is born by C-section, that child, even if he was born on Shabbat, will not have a circumcision on Shabbat. But if a child is born the usual way, so then the child, if he was born on Shabbat, gets a circumcision on Shabbat. So this is many details. Question number one is, when does Shabbat begin? So we say, when you see three medium stars in the sky, it begins. What happens if you live in a place where there's still a lot of light in the sky when the three stars come out? So here we have an interesting halacha. The halacha says, nighttime is not defined by light. Nighttime is defined by three stars, even if there is still a lot of light outside. Daytime, the beginning of day, is defined by light. How much light comes into the sky? That's the beginning of the day, Alot HaShachar. Nighttime, the beginning of day, is defined by the beginning of light. The end of day, or the beginning of night, is not defined by the light going away, but rather it is defined by the three stars coming out. So that's what we call Tzeita Kochavim. So if a child is born after three stars came out, if his head came out, after three stars came out, so then that's the next day. Either it will be Shabbat or it will be Motzei Shabbat. That's our definition. It says, on Motzei Shabbat we wait, ad sheyetzeh safek melibo, till doubt leaves his heart. So there's a joke that they say, which is an important rule, that the Shulchan Aruch said, ad sheyetzeh safek melibo, till doubt leaves his heart, and not ad sheyetzeh libo me'asafek. Don't wait till your heart goes out because you're always in doubt. Wait until the doubt goes out of your heart and not the heart goes out of the doubt. So we're going on. We do a circumcision on Shabbat. Yes, Ephraim? Oh, okay. We do circumcision on Shabbos, and that means we do everything necessary. So that includes slicing off the foreskin. That includes peeling back the membrane. That includes ensuring there's adequate blood flow, what we call mitzitza. That includes putting whatever we put on the circumcision to ensure the blood stops bleeding. Now, sometimes when you do circumcision, so there are still little pieces of skin that could be snipped off, but they don't have to be snipped off. It would be a nicer circumcision, but it's not. It's still a kosher circumcision without that. So then the question is, can I do that on Shabbos? So Chazal said that, so long as you're still dealing with the circumcision, even though technically we don't do operations on Shabbos, technically you should not cut off any new skin on Shabbos. Chazal said, so long as you're dealing with the circumcision, you can cut off even those small pieces of skin that would make it a nicer bris. If it's a piece of skin that would disqualify the circumcision, if there's a piece of skin left that covers the majority of the height of the gland, so right, we have the red part of the male organ, the gland, so if there's a piece of skin that covers the majority of its height, so then that's a piece of skin that disqualifies the circumcision. So then even if I thought I finished the circumcision, I can go back and cut that off. But so long as his hands are still there, so long as he hasn't stopped dealing with the circumcision, he can snip whatever he feels has to be snipped or should be snipped. That's what's called nalacha tzitzin, sheinan makvin. Tzitzin are little strands, sheinan makvin, that do not disqualify the mitzvah. And still, you're allowed to cut them off if it would make it a nicer bris, as long as your hands are still there. In Chazal's time, they told us that a child born in the 8th month won't live. And then 7th month could live, 9th month could live. So generally, when a child was born in the 8th month, you didn't know. A couple could have been intimate numerous times. You don't know which time the woman became pregnant. So you don't really know if he's a child that was born in the 7th month or the 8th month. How do you know? Today we have ultrasounds. Today the children that are born in the 8th month live. In Chazal's time, they knew the child would not live. So a child was gauged, firstly, whether his hair and his nails were finished. If when he was born he had hair and nails the way he should have, so then we say the child is developed enough that you can do circumcision on Shabbat. If the child was born and he didn't have hair, he didn't have nails, so then you don't do circumcision on Shabbat. You don't know if the child's fully developed. We have rules. If a child is ill, so we wait until he gets cured. We won't do circumcision until he's cured. If a child had a serious illness, we'll wait not only till he's cured, but another 7-24-hour periods after he's cured before we will do circumcision on Shabbat. What happens if you couldn't do the circumcision on the right day? So the child was born on Shabbat, and the first week the child was yellow. He had jaundice. So then his jaundice was so serious that you had to wait 7 periods of 24 hours before you could circumcise him. He got cured the next Shabbos. So now, 2 weeks later, he's going to have a circumcision, right? 2 weeks after he was born. So we have a rule that when did the Torah permit us to do circumcision on Shabbos? Only if the circumcision is on time, on the 8th day. Once the circumcision had to be pushed off, I cannot do the circumcision on Shabbat. The only time you could do circumcision on Shabbat is, A, we said, when the child was born the natural way, not a C-section, or B, when we need also B, the second component, that it's on the 8th day and not a delayed breed. Yes?
Are we going with the, does that mean that it overrides Shabbos?
Yeah, it overrides Shabbos, yeah. If a child is an androgynous, so he has a male and a female organ, so then we do not do circumcision on Shabbos. If a child was born on twilight, meaning after Shkia, before Tzeit HaKochavim, the sun had set, it's not clear if 3 stars came out, so whether it was on Friday of twilight or Shabbos of twilight, we're not going to do a circumcision on Shabbos. So if he was... if he was born, let's take a regular weekday. He's born between Sunday and Monday, and you're not sure if it was still Sunday or it was already Monday. So then you would do the circumcision on Monday, because if you did it a day early, it's not a kosher circumcision. So you would wait another day to ensure you have 8 days from the birth. So then this question is only relevant if he was born between Friday and Shabbat, because we would always wait to the later day, right? If we're not sure if he was born on Friday or Shabbat, we'll wait till Shabbat. But being that we said we would not do a circumcision that's not on the 8th day, we would not do it on Shabbat. So when a child is born between Friday and Shabbat, and you're not sure if Shabbat is the 8th day or the 9th day, then you can't circumcise him on Shabbat. Sometimes a child is born where he doesn't seem to have a foreskin. So then we have a mitzvah to just prick him and have one drop of blood come out as the circumcision. Well, we wouldn't do that on Shabbos. Yes?
Wait, so the question is the 8th day or the 9th day, would be the first on the Friday day, or would be on the Sunday?
Sunday.
So you do it on 10
days. Yeah? Well, possibly 10. You're not sure. 10 or 9.
It'd be 9 or 10.
Right. Right.
So
then do it there. Right. What happens if a woman gave birth to a child and then she converted to Judaism? So now the baby needs a circumcision. Right, not on Shabbos. Right, when the child was born, so she did not become impure. We said, the Pasuk says, when the woman became impure from her delivery, then you'll circumcise the child on the eighth day. She wasn't Jewish. She didn't become impure from the delivery. So then her child doesn't have that mitzvah. It's not even clear if you have to wait 8 days in order to circumcise that child. We're stringent and we wait 8 days, but it could be that that child can be circumcised on day one. Yes? Okay, so he's going to undergo a conversion. What happens if a child is born with two male organs? So then you don't circumcise him on Shabbat.
Which one do you circumcise?
Both. Circumcise both, but not on Shabbat. The truth is that we're not sure which one is... We circumcise both because we're not sure which one is the mitzvah. But as such, I can't do it on Shabbos. I can't cut either one on Shabbos. Now, what about the preps for a brit? What about the preparation? So we say the things you could have done before Shabbat, they don't push off Shabbat. So for example, if you need to carry the knife through public domain, you're not supposed to carry things through public domain. You should have brought it before Shabbat. You can't do the brit on Shabbat if it will involve that type of desecration of Shabbos, things that could have been prepared beforehand. Even if it's a rabbinic iser, even if it's not a public domain d'oraita, it's a public domain d'rabbanan. Even so, Chazal said, you should have prepared it before Shabbos. The Torah allowed you to do that which was necessary for the circumcision, which you couldn't have done earlier. Yes? So that's a machloket Tanaim. That was the town of Rabbi Eliezer. We don't rule like Rabbi Eliezer. So that's, you're right, there was such a thing. Here we have a very important discussion in Halacha. It says that a rabbinic prohibition, if you ask a non-Jew to do it, so then it's a double rabbinic prohibition. It's rabbinic because the prohibition in its own right is rabbinic, and you ask the non-Jew to do, which is another rabbinic prohibition, so it's like a doubly lenient in the sense that it's shvut de shvut. It's the rabbinic prohibition of doing a rabbinic prohibition. The original prohibition is rabbinic, and you're asking a non-Jew to do it, so that makes it rabbinic, even if it were biblical to begin with. So on a shvut de shvut, a rabbinic prohibition of a rabbinic prohibition, it says that you're allowed to do, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it for the sake of the mitzvah. So here there's a big discussion in Halacha, is this true for any other mitzvah? Let's say I'm going to have my Shabbos meal and I realize that the air conditioning's off. It'll be much more pleasant to have the air conditioning on. So I'll go to my non-Jewish neighbor and I'll ask him to turn on the air conditioner. Why? Because asking my non-Jewish neighbor is rabbinic, and turning on the air conditioner is rabbinic, so I've done a shvut to shvut, and it's a big mitzvah for me to enjoy my Shabbos. So is that permissible? So Tosa says, well, no. It was permitted for a giant mitzvah like a circumcision, like a brit milah. It's not that any mitzvah you need, you could ask a non-Jew to do rabbinic prohibition, shvut to shvut b'mkom mitzvah. So this is discussed. Where would we allow this? How big does the mitzvah have to be to say that I can ask a non-Jew to do a rabbinic prohibition for my mitzvah? But this is the root of the discussion, because it says that for the mitzvah of circumcision, I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a rabbinic prohibition on my behalf, to allow me to perform the rabbinic mitzvah. Yes?
So if children get circumcised in the hospital, does it count?
So usually if a child gets circumcised in the hospital, it's either done by a non-Jew, or it's done before Shabbat, before the eighth day. And then there's a simple procedure which they would have to undergo, which makes the brit kosher. It's called a tafatam brit, which is, again, that they, you know, diabetics prick their hand many times a day to check blood, so it hurts less than that. The prick of what's called a tafatam brit, meaning it's a slight prick, but it's not painful. And then because the original circumcision was not kosher, it was not done by a Jew, or it was not done after the eighth day.
Why is blood?
Just a second, people are waiting. Yeah. Why would we say that? Let's start again. A Brit Milah is a big mitzvah. For a Brit Milah, I can do a rabbinic prohibition of a rabbinic prohibition on Shabbat. Enjoying Shabbos is important, but it's not on the same level as a Brit Milah. So in order for me to do a rabbinic prohibition of a rabbinic prohibition in order to enjoy Shabbos, we don't say that. We don't say that even for that it's permissible.
So what's important?
That's a good question. If you remind me, then in 2 weeks we can come back to that. It's a separate discussion. I opened up the topic because from here we have the basis. But it's its own discussion. Yes.
Is the technical word usually Mechala Shabbat is like drive a car, just stop. But would you also use that here for doing Brit Milah Shabbat?
We say it's Doche Shabbat. It pushes off Shabbat. Not that you're desecrating Shabbos, but the mitzvah pushes off Shabbos. Doche Ta Shabbat. Okay. In ancient times, they used different things to stop the bleeding. They used wine. They used the white of an egg. They used ground cinnamon. The truth is that any ground object, any powder, would help the bleeding stop. The question is, how sterile is it? But technically, there were places where they used ground coffee to stop the bleeding. Because what happens is, anything that's ground absorbs the blood, and then the blood coagulates by staying on the same place. So technically, if we weren't worried about the sterility of the wound, so there were many places that they used ground coffee and the like to stop the bleeding. So in Chazal's time, they used ground cinnamon. And if you're standing before the circumcision and you realize you didn't grind your cinnamon for this circumcision, so how are you going to stop the bleeding? So you're not allowed to take a grinder and now grind up that cinnamon. That was a preparation you should have done before Shabbos. So what do? You take the cinnamon in your teeth and you chew it to a pulp. And then you could use it on the wound. Yeah.
Ground cinnamon is an antibacterial. Like it kills the bacteria.
Okay, I didn't know.
Does the cinnamon grow in Israel?
I don't know if the kinamon or the kamon. I don't know what kamon is. Maybe kamon isn't cinnamon. I don't know. Maybe kamon is cumin? I don't know. I said cinnamon, but maybe it's cumin. I don't know what kamon is. Could be it's cumin. And cumin also stops bleeding.
I think it's also
cumin. Oh, say that? Yes? I'm not hearing you.
Were you worried about it being acidic or something like that?
Right, I was also wondering. Yeah, today we don't do any of this, but okay. Saying we have Baruch Hashem, today we have a whole different system medically, but okay. They used to mix wine and oil to put on the wound. If you didn't prepare them before Shabbos, so you would put on the two separately, and then they'd mix on the organ itself. They used to put on a bandage that was like the shape of the organ to hold the skin that you fold down a membrane to hold that membrane down. So you can't prepare that special bandage on Shabbos. You would just bandage it, And that's what we do today. Most Mo'alim today don't have a special robe to put on it. What happens if a person didn't bring it with him? So now he has to carry it. You can't carry it on Shabbos. So it says you could, if the domain you're carrying it through is a rabbinic prohibition, it's not a biblical prohibition, so then you could wear it on your finger, like a finger glove. You could put it on your finger and take it with you that way through the yards. In Chazal's time, and this is interesting because this is one of the rare places where the Shulchan Aruch actually spells it out, that things changed from the days of the Talmud, because in the days of the Talmud they considered it a danger for the baby if you didn't cleanse it with warm water after the circumcision, especially on the third day. And that's why in the Talmud it says, let's say you prepared warm water before Shabbos and it spilled. How do you prepare warm water on Shabbos? Because it was considered critical for the baby that if you did not wash it with warm water, the baby could die. So that was critical in the days of the Talmud. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, today no one bothers with this. The Shulchan Aruch says, in our day, on weekdays, no one's so careful to bathe the baby in warm water. And that's why today, obviously, you would not be able to heat up water on Shabbat to cleanse the baby. So here you have a clear example in the Shulchan Aruch that medicine changed from the days of Talmud to the days of the Shulchan Aruch. Before the circumcision, very often we cleanse him. The people who feel he needs to be cleansed can wait till Motzei Shabbat, but to start heating up water on Shabbat, today we don't see that that's critical to the baby. On an average day, no one's so uptight to do it. You want to learn to be a moel. So I had a student who was ready to do his first circumcision. So he spoke to all his siblings and said, the next child you have, I'm ready to do a circumcision. And his siblings got all nervous. So Hashem blessed his siblings. And one after another, they had their babies on Shabbat. And the halacha says that if a person never circumcised before Shabbos, he should not do his first circumcision on Shabbos, because maybe it won't come out right, and then he'll end up wounding someone on Shabbos unnecessarily. So your first circumcision should not be on Shabbat. So his siblings got away with that. You know, one after another, they had it on Shabbat. But once you did it once, we assume you can do it from then on. Today, it's a little strange that we go with this halacha, because today we set up the circumcision beforehand. The way you set it up, you have parents who circumcise even though they've never been trained. Certainly someone who's been trained, it's not difficult today. The way we set up a circumcision where we put in the magen, we put in the shield, we set up the skin, all you got to do is pass the knife over it. But nonetheless, that's the system. So when I had my own son, who was also born on Shabbat, I wanted to give the student the circumcision. But I said it's... the Rabbon Shalom did it for him for like 2-3 years. All the children that were born that he might have had an opportunity to circumcise were either girls or born on Shabbat. So I called him to do my son, and it was on Shabbat. So there were a few interesting things. Number one, Rav Neventzel said, I'm not allowed to give it to someone else to do a circumcision. He said, you know how to circumcise, keep the mitzvah for yourself. I said, isn't it a bigger mitzvah to train a new moel in Am Yisrael? I, who taught him, I know that it's not dangerous. Other parents are going to be nervous. I know that there's no danger in his doing the circumcision. And so I'd be willing to give him my son. Other people go find someone who agrees. And it's a big mitzvah. You're helping someone get a parnasa and learn how to do a mitzvah. And he said, no, your mitzvah comes first. It's your mitzvah to circumcise your own son. Don't give it to anyone else. Okay, so what I did was I let him do everything before and after. Meaning, I did the cut, so I did the circumcision, but I let him do the prep beforehand and do the afterwards. And the truth is that when you prepare the mila, so you try to cut the foreskin and the membrane at the same time. That way the mila goes quicker and less painful for the child. But in order for that to happen, when you grab the skin, you have to hold on to both skins. And what I didn't factor was when I handed him the skin, you grab it and hold it, that there's that split second where you let go. And so the lower skin flew back down. So we did the cut, And then I had to come back and take down the membrane, right? So when the halacha says don't do your first one on Shabbos, I'm just saying it's not a complicated thing. That's true, and today it's very simple. And even so, when I did this, then I ended up having to do a longer circumcision on my son. Say that. You live and you learn. Yeah.